over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thankful, Lord, for the health to be able to get up and get ready and be able to come to church. And Lord, I thank you for those that are here today. And I do pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to our hearts. That, Lord, you would change our lives for your glory. Lord, I don't want us to just have another Sunday service where we come and go through the motions and then leave out of here and go back to the same old lives. Lord, I want myself, all of us, to be in better shape spiritually when we leave than when we came. Lord, I ask that you work in our hearts, work in our lives. Where changes need to be made, God, help us to make them. There's someone here today that's lost. I pray for their salvation. I ask, Lord, that you give me liberty, clarity of thought and speech, that I can say exactly what you put on my heart. I pray you would free all of our minds from distraction. Lord, I know that each one of us have different things going on in our lives, some more than others, no doubt. Lord, please help us, at least for the next few minutes, to be able to put all of that aside, to be able to focus our attention on the Word of God. Lord, help us to be sensitive to what you say to us today. And this I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Today I'm going to preach a message titled, The Consequences of Sparing Amalek. The Consequences of Sparing Amalek. And by way of introduction, there are three things that I want to point out from the story that is recorded here in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Like I say, I do have a good bit of material that I'm going to cover, so I want to go ahead and get right on into the message. The first thing that I want us to look at here in 1 Samuel 15 is the command that Saul was given. And I'm talking here about King Saul. And it says in verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now that shows you that Israel is God's people. Amen? That's what it says, to be king over his people, over Israel. A person will absolutely have to deny the truth of the Bible to not believe that Israel is God's chosen special people. The Word of God makes that very clear. But anyway, Samuel goes on and says, now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. He doesn't say hearken unto my words. He says, Saul, you hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. In other words, this is what God said. Verse number 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek. Notice in verse number 2, God says, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. A good bit of time has gone by from this incident that God is talking about. And yet what you see is that God still remembered what Amalek did to his people. Please keep this thought in mind, and it really doesn't have a lot to do with the message, but you and I, all of us, need to understand that God always pays attention to how people treat the nation of Israel. And he's never going to forget how his people are treated by any nation. He's not going to forget if they treat them good, and he's not going to forget if he treats them bad. And if they treat them bad, somewhere down the line, they will answer to God for what they've done against the people of Israel. And here is a situation where God is bringing up something that Amalek did many years before. And because of what they did many years before, God says, now go and smite Amalek. The Amalekites were descendants of Esau. If you go back to Genesis chapter 36 and read, you find that Esau had a son named Eliphaz. Eliphaz had a concubine named Timnah. And from that concubine, Amalek. So Amalek, the Amalekites, are descendants of Esau. And God says, now go and smite Amalek. And look at this. Utterly. The word utterly means complete or total. Utterly destroy. Here's the next word. All that they have. And spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. That is the command that Saul was given. He is told in plain terms to search out Amalek, and you don't stop until Amalek is utterly and completely destroyed. God wanted them wiped off the face of the earth for how they treated his people, the people of Israel. The reason why I point this out is because the Bible, the Word of God, is full of things that God commands us as his people to utterly or completely put out of our lives. Now, there's some things that God simply wants us to moderate. And what I mean is, it's all right if we have those things as long as those things don't have us. We can have them as long as we have them in moderation. But there are some things that God wants us to completely eradicate out of our lives. Things that God does not want us to allow to be in our lives at all. He wants us to give them no quarter whatsoever. He wants us to wage war on those things until they are utterly consumed. Look on down in this same chapter at verse number 18. And this is a later on scenario or situation where, again, Samuel is talking to Saul. And this is what he says, "And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites," and look at it, "and fight against them until they be consumed." Saul, you don't stop until every Amalekite is gone. You get rid of every one. You fight and you fight and you fight and you fight until there are no more Amalekites left. That is exactly how God wants us to be with certain things that he doesn't want in our lives, or anything that he doesn't want in our lives. He doesn't want us to be content with any sin. If it is something that in his word he is against, he doesn't want us to stop fighting until we get the victory over whatever that is. The sad reality is that many of us get to the point where we accept defeat. We accept certain things in our lives. We know that God's not pleased with those, but we let them stay there anyway. What God is saying is, I don't want you to stop fighting until it's gone. You stay with it until it's gone. And the list, these things, there's no possible way I could go through all of them. But with something that God is against, he expects us to be teetotalers. Know what I mean? If it is wrong, if it's sinful, he doesn't want me to compromise. He wants me to recognize that as an enemy that is against me, that's warring against my soul and doing what it can to break up my fellowship and hinder my relationship with the Lord. And he wants me to fight against that as long as it takes to get the victory. The list includes things like lying, stealing, unrighteous anger, corrupt communication out of our mouths, wrath, clamor, foolish talking, jesting, covetousness, lust, envy, pride, fornication, adultery, gossip, slander, drunkenness, bitterness, substance abuse, weights that are holding us down, division, strife, vainglory, and on and on and on goes the list. These are things that God says, I do not want you to have in your lives. You fight against it. I'm not talking about something that happens overnight for Saul to be able to completely get rid of the Amalekites. It was going to take some time, right? It wasn't something that's just going to happen in one battle. It would take some time. And I'm talking about you and I being faithful, being committed to addressing the sins that are in our lives. And can we all be honest and admit that we have some things in our lives, some Amalekites or Amalekites, ever how you want to say it, some stuff there that God's not happy with? Can we admit that this morning? Be honest and real and say, yeah, I got some of those Amalekites in my life. That's the first step, by the way. You got to be willing to admit it. But then you need to do everything you can. Wage war against that. Don't be satisfied. Don't be content to accept defeat and to keep it in your life and coddle it and allow it to stay there. Address that, whatever it might be. It's going to be a lifelong struggle. But that's what God expects. Here's the second thing I want you to notice. Not only the command that Saul was given, but the choice that Saul made. This is in verses 4 through 9. We're not going to read all of that for the sake of time. But notice immediately it says, verse 4, that Saul gathered the people together. He gets him together an army, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. That's a pretty good crowd of people there. And it says in verse 5 that he came to a city of Amalek. He comes to a city. You got to start somewhere, right? I mean, he's just one man with an army, so he couldn't go to every city of the Amalekites at one time, but he had to start somewhere. And that's the thing about our lives. And I'll be the first to admit, sometimes you read the Bible and you look into God's mirror, you see in your life a whole bunch of stuff that's not pleasing to the Lord. Amen. And it almost seems overwhelming. You think, man, how in the world can I get a handle on all of this stuff that is clearly not how God wants it to be? I got a whole bunch of stuff here that needs to get out. You know what you got to do to get victory over that stuff? It's just one at a time. Saul couldn't get all of the Amalekites gone at once, but he had to start somewhere. And that's how it is in my life and yours. We got to start somewhere. Just start with a single issue, a single sin, a single problem, and address that. And when you get victory there, guess what you do? You don't settle down and be satisfied and think, well, I got that out of my life. Well, praise God, you did. But you know what God wants you to do? Move on to the next one. That's what he wants you to do. But he says that he came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. You look on down at verse number 7, it says, Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. That's a problem there, isn't it? Isn't that a problem? Talking about one of them red flags. Well, there's your red flag in the Bible right there. That's a problem. Because is that what God told him to do? God said, I want them all gone. I want all the people and I want all the animals. I want everything that is in any way associated with the Amalekites to be gone. Well, he goes there and he fights against this one particular city, and he does kill all of the people except one. Except one. He saves Agag, the king, alive. But it says, utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now look at verse 9. But Saul and the people, it doesn't just say the people, it says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. That's a problem. Not doing what God told them to do, right? Now look at these next words. And would not utterly destroy them. It doesn't say they could not, does it? Clearly they could have wiped out all of the people and all of the animals. They did kill all of the people except for the king in this city. And they got rid of the bad animals, the ones that were vile and refuse. That they destroyed, it says in verse 9. So clearly they could have wiped out all the people and all the animals. It's not a matter of what they couldn't do. It's a matter of what they wouldn't do. They made a choice. Saul, it says, verse 9, but Saul and the people. So it wasn't just the people. Now, later on down in the passage, you know what Saul tries to do? Whenever he's confronted by Samuel, he tries to pass a buck, and he blames all of the people. He says it's the people that spared these animals and spared Agag. But who was responsible for these people? Saul was. Saul was the king. He was the leader. He was responsible. And he himself, along with the people, made a deliberate choice to not do what God told him to do. Wasn't a matter of what they couldn't do. It was a matter of what they wouldn't do. So they spare Agag. They spare the best of the people. That's the choice that Saul made. Why is that important? Well, I think a lot of times, just like Saul, you and I, as saved people, make a deliberate choice, to not address the Amalekites that are in our lives. That stuff we was just talking about, that stuff that clearly God doesn't want us to have in our lives. He's made it very clear in His Word. He's told us what to do. You wage war against that. And what we'll do, we're bad about doing, is we'll wage war like Saul and the people against some of the Amalekites in our life. We'll address some of them. I'm looking at a church full of people that I believe with all of my heart has addressed some, at least some, for a lot of you, you've addressed many of the Amalekites that are in your life. You're not where you used to be in your life, amen? You've got some victory. Maybe you've got a lot of victory over some stuff. You don't have in your life a lot of the things that you did before. Thank God for that. Amen? What a blessing it is to know that there's been some progress, that you've grown some in your life and got some victory over some things. I don't believe I'm talking to people this morning who don't care at all about stuff in your life that God's not happy with. What I do think is that probably all of us have some stuff that we just simply have decided, at least up to this point, we're not going to deal with. Some of us have been dealing with these things or having these things in our life for years now. God's dealt with us. We know what God expects. We know God wants that stuff out. He's told us in His Word. He's convicted us about it many times already. Put His finger on those things and said, look, this is wrong. It's sin. It's not pleasing. I want it gone. And while we might have addressed a whole lot of other issues, and thank God for that, we got those certain things. We got those Agags in our life that we won't deal with. And we just keep those there. That's what Saul did, right? He wiped out all the people but one. And as you read on in the story, and we don't have time to do it, as you read on in the story, you know what? He felt justified in that. When he begins to explain himself to Samuel, he explains it like this. Well, look, we got rid of everybody but Agag, and you can tell in what he says that he feels justified in that because he dealt with the majority of the people and only saved one person out of that city. He felt like he had done enough, that he had done all that God expected out of him. But that's not the case, right? God wanted all of them gone, including Agag. That's how I think we are a lot of times to save people. We got those Agags, one of them Amalekites, you know. We've dealt with some other stuff, thank God. Thank God we've dealt with some other things, but I'm looking at a people here this morning, and I looked at one in the mirror when I was getting ready today. I suspect all of us probably got some Agags hanging around. We just refusing to deal with for whatever reason. And listen to me, just like with Saul and the people, it's not a matter that we can't get these Agags out of our life. It's a matter of us choosing deliberately, for whatever reason, to not get these Agags out of our life. We're making a choice. Let me ask you this. Do you believe, based on what you read in the Bible, that you can have victory over any sin that's in your life right now? Absolutely. Either God's true or He's not. I believe He is, don't you? And I believe that God has given us, as His people, everything we need to conquer any Agag that is in our life, whatever it is. Whatever your Agag is this morning, whatever that thing is that you've been dealing with and holding on to for all these years or whatever amount of time, God has made it possible for you to have victory in your life. Hadn't he given us the Bible? We have the Word of God, right? We have the Bible as our greatest resource on this earth, greatest tangible resource. We have the Word of God that we can hide in our heart that we might not sin against God. We have the Word of God that can cleanse our lives and straighten us out and help us to get victory. We have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit, right? Right? If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have God's Spirit dwelling in you to strengthen you and enable you and help you to have victory over any Agag in your life. You hear people say things like this, well, I know it's wrong and I know it doesn't need to be there, but I just can't stop it. Really? I just can't quit. I just can't move on. We all the time, I can't. Well, according to the Bible, you can. Right? I'm going to give you a verse. Everybody in here knows it, I'm sure. I can. Right? Isn't that what it says? It doesn't say I can't. It says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Isn't that what the Word of God says? So for me to say I have an Agag in my life and I can't overcome that is for me basically to call God a liar. It's to say, God, you said it, but that's not how it is for me. I'm somehow the exception. I believe all these other Christians can have victory, but I can't. I can't stop this. I can't quit this. I can't get the victory. No, you can. You have the Scripture. You have the Holy Spirit of God. You have His strength at your disposal. I want to show you something right here in this chapter that's kind of interesting to me. Look on down in verse 29 at this chapter. I can see now that I'm not going to get through with the message. This is all just introductory. I hadn't even got to the main part of the message. Some of you is ready to go home already. 1 Samuel 15, verse number 29. I find this interesting here. Samuel is still talking to Saul about what's happened here. And I want you to notice what Samuel calls the Lord right here. And also the, look at that capital S, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Do you know that is the only time in your Bible where God is called the strength of Israel? That's the only place where that shows up. But right here in this chapter, when Samuel is talking to Saul, you know what he's letting him know? You could have whooped all them Amalekites if you wanted to, because you have the strength of Israel on your side. And you could have had the victory over every one of them. See, it wasn't a matter of them not being able to. They had the strength of God at their disposal. I'm telling you this morning, if you are saved by the grace of God, you have the strength of Almighty God at your disposal. And there is nothing in your life right now that you cannot overcome if you want to. You can have victory over anything. I'm not saying it won't be a battle. I'm not saying it won't be a fight. Clearly, that's what it would have taken for Saul to have victory over these people. It would have been a battle. It would have been a struggle. It would have been one fight after the other. I'm not talking about something that happens just like that. But I'm telling you, God has provided everything we need to have victory in our lives. And if I got an Agag, some Amalekite in my life, here's the reality. What I must accept, okay, is that it is there because I have chosen to allow it to be there in my life. God can help me have victory over that. It's just that I've made a choice, and in talking to people and in dealing with my own self through the years, I found there are a lot of reasons why people choose to hang on to certain Amalekites. While they choose to hang on to certain Agag, some of it's just simply the pleasure of the flesh. They're enjoying the pleasure that they're getting out of that Agag that's in their life, so they hang on to it for that. Sometimes it's because they feel like it's hurting another person. That's like somebody harboring unforgiveness and bitterness in their heart toward another person, and that is a very real thing nowadays, right? Hey, that's a very real thing in churches nowadays, amongst Christian people, to have unforgiveness and bitterness in their life. And I'm talking about people who've grown up in church and they've heard sermon after sermon after sermon about forgiveness and about not having bitterness, and they know it's wrong, but they got it in their heart. That's an Agag in their heart and their life, and they've held it for years. I'm talking about mad and bitter with people for years and years and years, and they could get victory over it, couldn't they? Couldn't they? They don't want victory over it. Because in their mind, they have been deceived into thinking that by them not forgiving that person, they are somehow hurting that person. And they feel like to release them, to forgive them, would let them get away with what they've done against them. So they just keep holding on to it and holding on to it. And in reality, the only one they're hurting is yourself. But I found there's a lot of reasons why people won't get rid of those Agags. And it's amazing to me how we think in our mind too that just a little isn't really that big a deal. Because you look here at what Saul does now. He saves one man, and he saves only the best of the animals. And later on when he's talking to Samuel, as I mentioned, he feels justified in that. And he thinks in his mind that because he's only spared one man, that's not really a big deal. It's not really a big issue. You know how the devil gets you? You know how he gets me? He gets us by making us think, or causing us to think in our mind, that just one ain't really that big of a deal. That's just a small issue. How many of you know that every alcoholic in this world right now started with just one drink? Understand that? The Bible says that it's just a little leaven that leavens a lump. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. But the devil makes us think, hey, I've got rid of this, and I've got rid of this, and I've got rid of this. I've addressed all of these issues, but I know I got this one, or I got two or three. But hey, since I've got rid of most of those bad things, it's all right if I hang on to these two or three. Those two or three ain't going to hurt me all that bad. Yeah. What God wants is for them to be gone. For us not to be content with anything in our life. And it's strange how it's only in the area of our spiritual lives that we have this mentality. You know what I got to thinking about when I was studying for this message? Just say, and I'm just using this, just say you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you that you have a tumor. A cancerous tumor, say somewhere in your body where it can be removed, wherever that might be. And he says, I can do surgery and I can get all of that cancer out of you through this surgery. I won't leave any of it. And you schedule the date and you come in and you're laying there on the table and the surgery's about to begin, and you say, you know what, doc, I've been thinking about it. I know I got this tumor, and I know it's cancerous, and I know it can spread, and it can get worse, and it can kill me one day. I know that. And I know you've told me that you can get all of it, but you know what I'd like for you to do? I'd like for you to leave a little bit of it in there. Get most of that tumor out. Get the majority of it, but leave just a little bit. I don't want all of it going. I want just a little bit. Now, that's a foolish scenario that I just gave you, right? Nobody in this building would think that way. When you lay down on that table, what would you want that doctor to do? To get every bit of the tumor, right? You want him to get every last bit of it, because you know that if he leaves just a little bit, what's going to happen? It's going to come back and grow, and it will eventually kill you. But in our spiritual lives, for whatever reason, that's kind of the mentality we have. I don't want to get rid of all of it. I'll get rid of most of it, but we're going to leave a little bit. And we think that that little bit isn't going to affect us down the road. But it will. It will. And that's the third thing. And I'm going to stop with this. This is the third thing that I want to talk about in this message. Really, this is the main part of the message. The command that Saul was given, the choice that Saul made, then last of all, the consequences of sparing Amalek. What are the consequences of you and me letting these things hang around in our lives, not dealing with them like God tells us to. What's the fallout from that? Can we expect any consequences? Is anything bad going to happen if we don't address these issues in our life? Or are we going to be able to live our whole lives with these things in our lives and never deal with them and come out scot-free? Well, according to the Bible, there are some very serious consequences that come from not dealing with Amalek. And I'm going to have to give that to you another time. Let's bow our heads for prayer. While you're bowing your heads and we're getting ready for our invitation, I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. Be honest with yourself. Are there some things in your life that you know sitting where you are this morning? And I'm not just talking about this general thing of, yeah, we all got sin in our life, because, yeah, we all got sin in our life. I want you to be real and personal with your own self. Is there something specific in your life that God's put his finger on? You've seen it in the Bible. You know it's wrong. You know it's a sin. You know God's not happy with it. And the Lord's put his finger on that and told you to get rid of it. But for whatever reason, you're hanging on to that Agag. I can't think of a better time than right now for you to start waging war against that Agag. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the time that we've been able to be here in church. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'd help every one of us to be honest and real with ourselves. It doesn't matter if we've progressed a long way. It doesn't matter if we're better off right now spiritually than we've ever been. If there's something in our life, Lord, that's wrong, that's sinful, we need to deal with it. God, please help us to be honest. Help us to have a desire to get rid of it. And through your grace, be able to have victory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, brother.